All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and teaching. Welcome to Straight from His Word with Dr. Dermothy Lavelle.
Dear Father, we thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace, your compassion. We thank you for the blood of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord God, that we've been redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And today, Lord, we offer the sacrifice of praise. Lord, you are worthy of all praise. You're worthy of all glory. And you're worthy of all honor. Lord, we praise you. We magnify you. We thank you, Lord, that you loved us enough to send your Son to die for us on the cross at Calvary. And Lord, we give you praise and we give you glory and we give you honor. We thank you, Lord God, for the precious gift of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord God, for your healing power, your healing anointing to drive out the spirit of sickness, disease, and infirmity in the name of Yeshua. We ask, Lord God, that you would arise from your resting place and scatter the camp of the enemy. We bind every spirit of mind control, disruption, disobedience, perversion, witchcraft in the name of Yeshua. And Lord God, release your warring angels to go forth and do battle in the name of Yeshua. Lord, deliver your people and set them free in the name of Yeshua. We pray that your name will be exalted among the heathen and that your glory will be revealed in the name of Yeshua. We thank you, Lord God, for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your power. And we thank you, Lord God, that by your stripes we heal. Lord, I thank you for granting healing, healing, healing in the name of Yeshua. Lord God, I pray that you will release financial blessings. We bind the spirits of hindrance. We bind the spirit of poverty with chains from heaven in the name of Yeshua. And we pray, Lord God, that financial blessings would come from the north, south, east, and the west. And Lord, we give you glory. We give you honor. We thank you, Lord God, for your mercy and your grace in the name of Yeshua. Now, Lord, let your blessing be upon this broadcast today. And Lord, I thank you. In the precious and the mighty name of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord, saints. Welcome to Straight From His Word. It's a blessing to be here with you once again. To share the word of God, we serve a mighty God, and God is good. To the first-time listeners, thank you for tuning in to Straight From His Word. I'm not the typical radio preacher. I give it to you straight with no sugar added. Saints, as you know, we're living in the last days. Perilous times are here. The return of our Lord and Savior, Yeshua. Jesus, the Messiah, is imminent. We have to be about the Father's business. There's so much work to be done. And as I am grateful and thankful that I'm here, I'm able to share the Word of God with you. And I'm excited that God is merciful. You know, I'm making a recovery, saints. I'm getting better. I'm not 100 yet, but I'm getting better. I thank God for His healing mercies and grace. That the doctor said my recovery is remarkable. And I'm starting to believe it. but I'm grateful and thankful that I can come into this studio and share the word of God. We are in this series, Choose Whom You Will Serve. We're recognizing the fact that we're dealing with the issue of idol worship and how much God hates idol worship, knowing the fact that that has caused a breach between God and man for a long time. We know that it was that idol worship that caused the breach between Father God and the nation of Israel. And we were in Exodus 34. And when Moses had asked to see God's glory, I'm going to start reading there again, and then we're going to let the Holy Spirit have His way. Amen. And the Lord said unto Moses, in Exodus 34:1, and the Lord said unto Moses, in other words, cut two tables of stone like unto the first, and I will write upon the tables the words that were in the first tables, which you break, and be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning unto the Mount Sinai, and present thyself there to me in the top of the mountain. And no man shall come up with you, neither let any man be seen throughout all the mountain, neither let the flocks nor herds feed before mount. And he cut two tables of stone like unto the first. And Moses rose up early in the morning and went up unto Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him, and he took in his hand two tables of stone. You know, it's amazing that when you consider our relationship with the Lord, how God desires to meet with you one-on-one. We call it the secret place. And how all distractions has to be removed, as he told him, nobody can come with you. And that's a time when you as a believer can meet with God. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, he's merciful, gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands and forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, and that will no by means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the children's children unto the third and fourth generation. So when you look at that, saints, we have the issue of generational sins or generational curses. And you see that how with our ancestors that may have participated in idol worship, in the occult, all of these things, and it can impact your children and your grandchildren. And many of what things that we suffer in our lives, we have had parents and from our cultures and our heritage cultural stuff that the enemy has legal rights to come after us. And when we accept Christ, yes, he's redeemed us from the curse of the law. But we have these generational things here that are still in place that can be activated, and that the enemy activates it, especially when we accept Christ and he begins to try to make our lives a living hell. And we don't understand what's going on around us. And part of the problem that we see today and experience in the contemporary body of Christ is that preachers don't teach and talk about this. They shy away from the spiritual warfare component that is real. They don't want to talk about it. They want to say that miracles and signs and wonders no longer exist. There's a strong spirit of unbelief, which is what it is, that Satan has used to deceive so many people. And as preachers and pastors, we have failed to equip the people of God how to wage spiritual warfare and how to recognize these things and what's taking place and what's going on in our lives. When trouble hits, we have to know how to pray. We have to know how to get in contact with God. I've had so many trials to come at me and things that have happened. And when I do, the first thing I do is say, okay, Lord, show me what it is. Lord, show me what the legal right is. God, is this something that I've done? Is there something in our family history that has allowed this to happen? Because immediately I engage and go into spiritual warfare. I begin to pray. I begin to bind. In the name of Yeshua, I go on the attack as soon as I get my bearings about me. Because what the enemy will come in and do, when you least expect it, he hits you. He comes at you. He'll attack a family member. He'll attack your finances. He'll attack you on your job. He'll attack you in a personal relationship. And you'll be like, oh, he might hit all areas at one time. And then you'll be trying to wonder, oh, my God, where is this coming from? But realizing that there could be a possibility that there is a legal right there. It says, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and fourth generations. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth. And he said, if now I have found favor in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us. For it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for thy inheritance. Now, you see, Moses knew the pulse of the people that he was leading. And I wonder how many pastors out there know the pulse of the people, especially when you have a mega church or a huge congregation. You know, our job as pastors is to go up into the mountain like Moses and meet with God and come back and say, here's what the Lord is saying.
And God can give you an indicator of what's going on in the lives of your people. When I was pastoring, I had a pulse. I knew what was happening and going on in the lives of people. Not from a controlling perspective, but from spiritually, Lord, how are they doing, Lord? Are they building a relationship with you? Are they spending time in prayer? Are they spending time in that secret place? God, do they know you? Because, you see, I wanted it more than they wanted it for themselves. They would see how God would use me and see me moving in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I wanted them to want that as well. I wanted God to anoint them, that he could use them that way, that they could flow in that power and that authority and that anointing, so that when trouble came, they would not look to me, but they would look to the God, and they would cry out to the Holy Spirit, God, move. God, we need you to arise from your resting place and scatter the camp of the enemy. I wanted the people to be independent of me and me not be their source when emergencies hit. Yes, I could be there in agreement with them and pray with them. But if it was a situation where they could not handle, then I could come in and agree and pray with them and wage warfare with them. But they was aware. Now understand, everything is not the devil. Sometimes it is the hand of God that is moving to get your attention. You see, we've been preached, for the most part, an incomplete gospel, recognizing, because we've not studied how God dealt with the nation of Israel, how God can work through circumstances and through situations. I was just reading the other day in Samuel how after King Saul was disobedient, it says the Spirit of the Lord basically departed from him, and the Lord sent a tormenting spirit to him. Now, the modern preachers will say, God would not do that. But I have examples here in the scripture where God did do it. We need to recognize, understand, Satan and his minions are still servants of God, because God is the creator of all things. And God can use whatever manner of mechanism that he desires to use to bring chastisement and judgment. When his people are walking in a way that are not pleasing to him. And some will say, well, preacher, I just don't agree with that. I don't think that God, and people always hear people say, well, my God would not do this, and my God would not do this, and my God. And when they say that, they really don't know the God of the Bible, because there's a lot that the God of the Bible did that people don't realize, oh my goodness, this is something else. Oh my God. You don't believe me, saints? You want me to give you an example? Go with me to 1 Kings chapter 22. You are listening to Straight From His Word. Pray for me, saints. Pray for me. I am praying that my speech would return. I will be made whole. I am making progress. I know if some of you heard my previous broadcast, I didn't sound like myself. And there are moments to where, hey, it's coming back. But when we consider who God is and how he works, in 1 Kings 22, this is Micaiah's prophecy. And they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. And it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, know ye that Ramoth Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria. And he said unto Jehoshaphat, will you go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as you are, and my people as my people, my horses as your horses. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. And the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up for the Lord shall deliver it into thy hand, of the king. And Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides that we might inquire of him? Now, you need to understand, false prophets are in abundance. God's true prophets are few in number, and they are always shut off, shut apart, doing their living their daily lives, minding their business, and spending time in a secret place with the Lord. Jehoshaphat said, hey, wait a minute. I don't want to hear these jokers. I need to hear from somebody that's really hearing from the Lord. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, yep, there's one man, Micaiah, the son of Imla, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. But I hate him, for he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, hasten quickly to Micaiah, the son of Imla. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, sat each on his throne, having put on their robes in a void place in the entrance of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets prophesied before them. And Zedekiah, the son of Shemaiah, made horns of iron. And he said, thus saith the Lord, with these shalt thou push the Syrians until thou have consumed them. Putting on a show. And all the prophets prophesied, saying, go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the king's hand. Pay attention, saints. And the messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, behold now, the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word as one of them, and speak that which is good. It's not always good to follow the masses. And Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. So he came to the king, and the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go to Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he answered him, go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into thy hand, of the king. And the king said unto him, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? And he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, they have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me but evil? And he said, here comes, saints. And he said, hear thou, therefore, the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the hosts of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. God had called a heavenly council. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one said on this manner, and another said on this manner. Now see, God had spoken judgment on Ahab because of all of his evil and his wickedness, all of his idolatry. And God says, I'm going to take Ahab out. And so we see now the veil is being removed that we have understand. You know, most Christians have never even read this and saw this in the Bible. Because we don't study the Old Testament, we are just looking and studying the New Testament, just bits and pieces in the Old Testament. And God said, who's going to do it? And look at verse 21. Highlight this in your Bible, please, somebody. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And they all began to say, well, this, that, another. And in verse 21, and there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. Now look at this. A spirit. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and rulers of darkness. A spirit stood before the Lord. Understand, God is the one sitting on the throne. God is the one that is in charge. And it hearkened to God's instruction. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith, in other words, how are you going to do it? And he said, I will go forth, and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And God said, you shall persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so. Now look at that, saints. Y'all, some of y'all probably go, woo-wee. Wait a minute. Wait. Did God do that? This lying spirit. So, you know, we know that there is a lying spirit. And you have to have discernment to recognize that what you are hearing, whether it is truth or not truth. There is much that has been preached and taught in the church that is void of truth. When I say that, there's enough truth, but then there's enough of this other stuff that leads us away from following God and leads us into idolatry and rebellion and disobedience. And then we begin to operate and walk in witchcraft and recognizing the fact that this is how it works. When you hear me say, God is God, he is the creator of the universe. God has no equal. The kingdom of darkness is not equal to the kingdom of God in power or authority. The authority that they have on this planet is delegated authority. But when God decides to override it because he is sovereign, there is nothing that anyone can do. When God tells Satan to bow the knee, he has to bow the knee. God does not bow to Satan. God does not sit on his imperial throne and be up there wringing his hands. Oh, my God, look what Satan is doing. What am I going to do next? Really? God sits back on his throne. All he has to do is give a look, lift his pinky finger, because he's God. You see, what we have to realize, saints, that when he sent Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, it was to redeem us from the hand of the enemy. It was to break the power of sin over our lives so that we could have fellowship with him restored and then begin to walk in a covenant relationship with him, Father God, and that we could be his sons and his daughters, and then that we can go out and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and deliver and set the captives free from the hand of the enemy, because he has bound so many people up through his lies and distortions and all of these things to where we can miss what God is saying and what God is doing. You see, God loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us on the cross at Calvary. And when Yeshua died, he rose from the grave the third day. And what he did with that, he had stripped the enemy of his power and authority over our lives so that we can begin to walk in victory and be a force for God's kingdom to deliver those that are bound by sin and deception and destruction. Jesus died for us that we might live and have liberty and freedom, because he is a loving God and merciful. Saints, I can't finish this today. Be praying for me here at Straight Word Christian Ministries. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem as the Bible commands us to do so. If the Holy Spirit of God moves you on to bless us financially, please be obedient and bless the ministry. Remember, Yeshua is Lord and his return imminent. Pray for your family members and your loved ones that their hearts will be open to hear and receive the gospel of Yeshua the Messiah. Know this, Yeshua is Lord and his return imminent. I love you. Shalom, shalom, shalom.
You've been listening to Straight From His Word with Dr. Dermothy Lavelle. If you'd like to contact Pastor Dermothy or send him a gift of support, the address is Straight Word Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 25348, Federal Way, Washington 98093. That's P.O. Box 25348, Federal Way, Washington 98093. Or you can call 253-431-7375. Again, 253-431-7375. On the web, it's straightwordministries.com. That's straightwordministries.com. Tune in again for more Straight From His Word with Dr. Dermothy Lavelle.